All right. Got it to go live. We are in the book of Revelation, studying on the 12 tribes. This is the Revelation of Jesus Christ, part 83. And we're just going to look at a couple of the tribes tonight. We've already been through most of them. We are Revelation chapter 7, verse 7, of the tribe of Issachar, we're sealed 12,000. Again, this is a spiritual book. These are not natural 12,000 of exactly of the Jewish people sealed. This is a spiritual book. You'd have to go back and look at some of the other lessons to get that, but we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go. But Issachar, let me go back to Genesis. We get our foundation here right out of the book of Genesis. Issachar, the name means hire or wages or compensation. And he was given, Issachar was given this name because of his mother's exclamation at his birth. And this is found in Genesis chapter 30, verse 17 and 18. God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband, and she called his name Issachar. It says in the margin of my Bible, hire and hire. Hire, like hire an employee. When Leah gave birth to this goodly son, she felt that the Lord had paid her or recompensed her for her service and obedience to him, and she was indeed blessed. And Issachar, I'm just giving you the natural side here, received a rich and beautiful inheritance in Israel. You have to go back to Joshua, the book of Joshua, and see that. But he was given the fertile eastern end of the Jezreel Valley. And his boundary on the north was Mount Tabor, and on the south, Mount Gilboa. And the men of this tribe, there's a lot about Issachar and men of understanding. The men of this tribe were known to be valiant men, men of might in all their families and all their generations. They were hardworking, valiant tribe, patient in labor, and invincible in war. So Leah was indeed blessed with a son who was also blessed. Now, Issachar, again, this is a spiritual book in the book of Revelation. Issachar stands as a representation of the bountiful blessings of God that comes upon every obedient son of God. I was thinking about that term, son of God. Sometimes I know people would think, well, we're excluding women or sons or daughter, but this goes back all the way to the blessing in Genesis 1, 26, 27, and 28, when God blessed them, said, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, have dominion over it. Where was the woman at? She was in the man. So that blessing was to them all. You know, as Paul would say, there's no male or female. We're one in Christ Jesus. Okay, so that's what we're talking about here. So Issachar stands as a representation of the bountiful blessing of God that comes upon every obedient to the faith, son of God. Now, I want to read you this verse out of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Heavenly places in Christ. These are spiritual blessings. These are our blessings for the inner man, you know, that we've been talking about for so long, the new creation man. And these are experienced only in the heavenly places in Christ. These are realities, graces, powers communicated from the person and glory of the ascended Christ. They are from Him and out of the high and holy realm which He dwells. Now, the word places is added there. Okay, I'm looking at the margins. It's in italics. It was added. So it says, with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. That's the way it reads in the original, in the heavenlies in Christ. So it's talking about a dimension of the Spirit here. And most believers don't seek these blessings. Most seek the blessings of the lower earthly realm. Paul said, set your affection on things above. Set your mind on things above, not on the earth. Most seek the blessings of the lower earthly realm. Nothing wrong with them, but there's a higher blessing. And when I say the lower realm, I'm talking financial, jobs, houses, food, problems, you know, stress, all of those things of the lower realm. And I will tell you this, that all of the works that Jesus did, all the miracles, all the signs, all the wonders, the healings that He did, giving the man sight, all of those things were done on this earthly lower level. Now listen to what I'm telling you right here. None of those things He did were for the inner man. They had to wait. Jesus would tell him many times, I have many things to tell you, but you can't bear it. There's a lot more here, but you're not ready yet. But once Christ came forth in the power of the resurrection, once He ascended on high, He ministers now from this higher and more glorious realm. And now, as on the day of Pentecost, there comes from heaven something far greater. They had never seen this before, never experienced this before. Something far greater than that which blesses the outer man. Something that blesses the inner man. The Spirit of the glorified Jesus has been poured out that we might be born from above, made partakers of His divine nature. This has never happened before, that we can really be joined to the Lord, be one spirit, one body, joined to Him. It never happened before. This was above the earthly blessings. And truly, listen to what I'm saying here, truly has raised us up within ourselves, both in consciousness and state of being, and made us sit together in the heavenlies. And it's here in the heavenlies that He blesses us with all spiritual blessings. Look at that again, with all spiritual blessings in Christ. What are the spiritual blessings? There's many, but I'll list some off. The blessings of wisdom. He's made into us wisdom. The blessing of knowledge. The blessing of understanding. The blessing of peace. The blessing of joy. The blessing of love. The blessing of faith. The blessing of grace. The blessing of glory. The blessing of His might. The blessing of His power. The blessing of the mind of Christ. And the very image of God. Spiritual blessings, Issachar. The earthly blessings are first experienced when we're spiritual babes. That's how they come about. And you know, I mean, I've witnessed these things. I'm sure you've witnessed these things. But the spiritual, heavenly blessings are reserved for the mature, for the sons. Okay? And you'll know that you're moving into perfection, maturity, sonship, when you start praying and seeking the spiritual blessings instead of the physical blessings. I want you to think about that. You'll know when you're moving into this, moving more into this fullness, into the experience of this fullness, into the experience of sonship, when you start praying and seeking the spiritual blessings instead of the physical blessings. Guys, I'm telling you, this is what will deliver creation. I think about that a lot. Just in passing, the people that I deal with, the people that I'm around. People that pay no attention. The world has not yet witnessed the power of God on a level that's coming. They haven't. Well, no, the power of incorruption, the power of immortality. He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. They haven't witnessed that. We haven't witnessed that. It's beyond our minds here. They haven't seen it on the level that is coming, as our Lord did after his resurrection. So will the sons of God do. See, people wonder about these things. See, today it's just fly off, you know, go to heaven when you die, or just the Lord's taking us out of here. Jesus, I mean, he stayed with them 40 days after he rose from the dead. Imagine that. I mean, there is so much. I love those verses in Corinthians. I read those a lot. I'm sure you do too. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Excuse me. Had to sneeze. Nowhere does it say in those verses that we go to heaven. That we fly off to heaven somewhere in a rapture. We will be, now listen to what I'm saying. Jesus was in a glorified body walking around amongst people who were not in glorified bodies. We will be in glorified bodies. We will belong to the heavenly world as Jesus did, as Jesus does. But we will appear and take part in earthly life and show the fullness of the power and glory of his resurrection right here on the earth. This is the greatness of this thing. I had a long conversation one time with this pastor from Seattle. We talked about this very thing, and we both talked about how we hesitated to share what the Lord had shown us. And here I am, it's been years. He has passed away, but I enjoyed so much talking and learning from him. He passed away last year, and I just hated that. So much. But we talked about these things. And you don't find a whole lot of people you can talk about. I'm sharing them with you. Walking around in glorified bodies right here on the earth. This is Christ coming to be revealed in the fullness of himself. I could give you so many scriptures. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. It didn't say in heaven, it says in glory. Right? appear? Why? I mean, the glory of the Lord, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord fill the whole earth. How is this going to be coming about? Through his body. Who is his body? We are his body. And this will be coming to be revealed in the fullness of himself among all the peoples and before all nations. Our Lord's life on the earth after his resurrection gives us an illustration of what resurrection life ultimately means. Only resurrection life and power is the fullness of God. I mean, in Romans 1:4, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead, or from the dead. Romans 8:23, ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. That word adoption means placement as sons, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. I mean, could you imagine Peter and James and John? They witnessed incorruption, immortality. He would appear in the room when the doors were locked. Following the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, he could be in a place simply by willing to be there, regardless of space, time, material obstructions. I'm just sharing with you some things here. He had access to the heavenly spiritual realms and to the earthly dimensions as well, to all of it. All power given unto him in heaven and in earth. I don't know if you think about these things. This is our destiny. Jesus was glorified to ascend and pour out the first fruits of the Spirit. And the sons of God should be glorified to express in the earth the fullness of the Spirit and to deliver all creation from the bondage of corruption. This is the promised coming or revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what it is. I could go on and on about it, but I hope you'll ponder the things I just told you. When the manifest sons of God go forth, it will be unlike any ministry you've ever witnessed. Any ministry you've ever read about. I mean, take the greatest revivals. They'll all pale in comparison before the manifestation of God through his people. Never seen nothing like this. Never seen nothing like this. When the glorified sons of God appear, even if it's just to one, it doesn't matter if he's, you know, some billionaire on Wall Street or if it's some beggar in the street, whomever, there will be the appearance of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, such as came to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. How long did it take for his conversion? See, the power of God will come upon them with irresistible glory. I mean, they won't come and say, oh, come to an altar. Oh, come to a decision. No, the presence of him whose countenance is as the sun. The presence, we've been doing a little study on Sundays on the presence. In the presence of him whose countenance is as brighter than the noonday sun, and they will tremble and become instantly and completely broken before the presence of the Lord. Who can stand before him? The veil will be removed from off their mind and off their heart. And again, there'll be no need for a meeting, no need for a church, no need to play, just come as you are, or none of that. No need for sermons or none of that. The very power, the very presence of God shall illuminate and transform. This is very presence. I mean, Jesus came to bring life to the world. And this is the life that will flow out through the sons of God. I mean, after 2,000 years of church ministry, more people are dying without Christ and without hope than ever before. Think about that. More people are dying without Christ and without hope than ever before. There must be a change, a radical change, a new ministry, a greater glory, something unprecedented, something transcendental. What is that? The power of the kingdom of God. God's kingdom going forth. The kingdom of God ever increasing. It was foretold. It was promised. Of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. The little stone that dashed all the kingdoms of the world to pieces. It's coming, and it'll be coming through his people. It is in the spiritual attainment of the tribe of Issachar that we shall receive our wages. Remember, his name means hire. We shall be recompensed for our obedience and willing and total submission to every dealing of the Father in this walk of sonship to God. Issachar. Now, the next tribe that is sealed, of the tribe of Zebulun, shall be sealed 12,000. Zebulun means dwelling or habitation. Oh, can you see the mystery? See, as we progress from tribe to tribe, there's an ascending scale of spiritual growth, spiritual experience, spiritual development. God continuously and increasingly floods our heart with light and understanding and glory and reality and power. The very presence of God, the very presence of God. Which, again, we're studying on Sundays. I'm going to go through what we've been through so far. In Judah, whose name means praise, was the first tribe that was sealed. In Judah, we received the revelation and call to sonship. In Reuben's name means behold a son. The life of sonship appears and begins to be raised up within us. Next is Gad. Gad means a troop. We learn spiritual warfare by which we begin to overcome spiritual warfare. In Asher, who is next, Asher means happy. We're flooded with the overwhelming joy of the kingdom of God. When I say confidence, let me give you a verse here because Paul writes this, we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. When I say confidence, it's not confidence in the flesh. It's confidence in the Spirit. You know what I mean? There's confidence, a trust in the Lord. There's a trust there. I mean, here we are in Asher. We learn to trust. We have this confidence in God. We have this confidence in the work of Jesus Christ. Next is Naphtali. Naphtali means wrestling. We're giving hinds feet to ascend into the high places of the Spirit in overcoming victory. Hinds feet. Scaling the mountains. The next was the tribe of Manasseh. Manasseh means causing to forget. Causing to forget. And we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Next is Simeon. Simeon means hearing. The revelation of God's truth and purpose in us comes into focus with great clarity as we truly hear what the Father is saying to us. You know, there is there's so much to that hearing. More important than even seeing. I mean, you can see these things, but hearing, I mean, this is a conversation. We could talk about that more later, but to hear. We truly begin to hear what the Father is saying to us. And in Levi means joined. It means union. And there's the marriage of the soul and the spirit within now. Restoring us into singleness. Singleness, remember that. Singleness, oneness, wholeness in union with Christ. Man as man was meant to be. Male and female, soul married to the spirit. This is what this is talking about. Again, this is a spiritual book here. You try to take the natural and it just doesn't work. And that brings us to Issachar, which we just studied. And Issachar means payment or compensation. And we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly. Remember, spiritual blessings in the heavenly. We're endued, empowered with all that is needed to fulfill the sonship ministry. What is that? All the fullness of God. That brings us to this tribe we just mentioned, Zebulun. Zebulun means dwelling. It means habitation. It means it's where we no longer just receive things from God, but at last we enter into the high calling of God, granted an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God to remain, to abide, to dwell in the Father's house as sons. You know, I think of all those verses. In my Father's house, you know, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many abiding places. That's what it means. It's not a bunch of going to heaven and glory, and there's a bunch of gold buildings over there. Many abiding places. If were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And there's another verse. I don't know if I can find it real quick. Here it is, John chapter 8. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever. The servant doesn't abide in the house. Now, we're talking about abiding here. Zebulun means abiding. Dwelling, habitation, right? The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Right? Servants, we're not no longer servants, but sons. That's what this whole thing that we're talking about. Sons. It's here that we find our place in the new order of sonship. Knowing of a certainty who we are, what we've received, what our mission is, what our goal is. And we recognize that the hour of unveiling is nigh at hand. We feel the sense of urgency. I wish other people felt the sense of urgency. I look around and I think, who feels the sense of urgency? Not very many. Why do we feel the sense of urgency? Yet we abide, we wait. Patiently we wait. We abide in Him and we wait. I wish we could give this urgency. I wish we could spread it around, but the more I think you dwell in the presence of God, the more that you feel this urgency, this desire, this longing. Again, you begin to just pray for these spiritual blessings. Not earthly blessings. I mean, they almost become unimportant. I know they are. You know, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, his righteousness, and his righteousness. The Father knows what you have need of. He knows you have need of all these other things. He provides. That's not it. It's the kingdom. It's these spiritual blessings. And you know, Paul tells us to set our heart there. I'm constantly reminded. I look around and I see everything that's going on and all the mess and all this other stuff. And I'm reminded constantly, even though it looks like everything is falling apart, all power in heaven and in earth is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's all been given to Him. All power. All power. And when you understand what He's got in store and what's coming and the kingdom is coming oh my goodness, it's exciting. We just seek His presence. We just seek His presence. Well, that brings us to, we got two tribes left, Joseph and Benjamin. I want to talk about Joseph here and what time we got left. So of the tribe of Joseph was sealed 12,000. As the old prophet Israel, his name was Jacob. Remember, his name was changed to Israel. As he sat on his bed pronouncing those prophetic blessings on his sons by Leah and Bilhah and Zilpah, he had to sense something special in the spirit concerning what God had in store for his two youngest sons, Joseph and Benjamin. They were the sons of his most beloved Rachel. Rachel, whom he had worked for all that long time. And Rachel had been barren for so many years. And while her rival, her own sister Leah, had given Jacob six sons, and although her handmaid, Rachel's handmaid Bilhah, had given Israel two sons in her name, Rachel still longed for children of her own womb, her own flesh and blood. She longed for it. In desperation, she cried out to her husband in Genesis chapter 30, verse 1, the last part of the verse says, give me children or else I die. That's desperation. And it says, and the Lord heard her cry, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bore a son, and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. Listen to what she said. The Lord shall add to me another son. So Joseph's name means, may he add. While Rachel rejoiced in God's goodness in giving her this son, she desired another son. One more. And God granted her that desire, the desire of her heart. And she gave birth to Benjamin. She called him Benoi. We'll talk about that later when we get to him. But Jacob, Israel, named him Benjamin. And she gave birth to Benjamin. And after he was named, she died. She gave birth and she died. She got to see her son. But we're talking about Joseph here. And we know how Joseph, how he grew up, the coat of many colors. He was the spoiled little kid. He was the favorite at the time. And the other brothers didn't like him. And God, through the sovereignty of God, he was sent down into Egypt as a prisoner. But God blessed Joseph in Egypt, brought him to a position of immense power next to the very throne. And the Lord gave him two sons named Ephraim and Manasseh, both of whom fathered tribes. And in the Bible, the list of the tribes normally mentioned the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh rather than the tribe of Jacob. I'm just giving you a little historic stuff here. To be exact, there are 16 tribal listings in the scriptures after the book of Genesis. And Joseph is only mentioned three times. In his place is usually taken by Ephraim and Manasseh. Okay? But that's kind of irrelevant because this book of Revelation is a spiritual book. And it's addressed to spiritual people, and it concerns spiritual realities. And in its spiritual meaning, Joseph points to the great increase that has come to the lives of the sons of God as we are progressed on this journey into God's fullness. Now, I realize that many speak of Joseph in the meaning of his name, he may add, in outward terms of the multitude of his descendants or the vast increase of the kingdom of God in the earth. But when Rachel named Joseph, she didn't have in mind the increase that would come out of Joseph and himself, but she said, but he may add, expressed her deep desire for another son. Her reference was to Benjamin, not Joseph. And spiritually, this points us to the ultimate consummation of our sonship, where the work within us is complete. And in Benjamin, we stand in all the glory and authority and dominion of our full sonship as sons of the right hand. That's what Benjamin means, sons of the right hand. Oh yeah, in Joseph we've come to a high stature in Christ, to a place of rich fulfillment, glorious potential, yet we still yearn for completion. Perfection, incorruption. For the fullness, for the hour. Remember, they cried under the altar. How long, O Lord? How long? Remember, we went into that several lessons ago. But we long for the hour of manifestation. Our desire is for Benjamin. Now, all things, And they have a beginning followed by various stages of development, formation, growth, increase, until there comes fullness and perfection. You know, just in natural we see that, you know. I wonder how many times people put on feathers and jumped off a tree thinking they could fly. And then, you know, comes up to the Wright brothers who flew for, you know, a few feet, and then now we're flying off to the moon and sending spaceships throughout the galaxy. But there were stages in all of that. See, all things move forward. They progress, and each of us can truly see his image in the progression through the 12 tribes or the 12 steps to the throne of God. I know we're seated with him already, but I'm talking in experience here. Growing up in experience, that's what I'm talking about. You know, even a child, when the child is born, the child has legs and toe. You know, a child when it's born proper has 10 toes and 10 fingers and the head and ears and seeing and arms, but it can't walk. Everything is there, but it can't do anything. It has to grow up and go through these stages. That's the same way for us. And we see that represented in these 12 tribes, the sealing of these 12 tribes. Let me go back to the book of Revelation here and give you this verse. Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God, the bond slaves, the bond servants of God, in their foreheads with the mind of Christ. Okay? And the sealing begins with Judah, and we see what's taking place here. We see these stages now. So we're going through these stages. It's a growing up. A growing up. And each of us is in there somewhere according to the measure of the Father's dealings and work in our lives. Begins with Judah, ends with Benjamin. We're somewhere in there where he's dealing with us. You know, when our Lord Jesus came into this sin-cursed world, bringing the word and power of the kingdom, he ushered in a new and a glorious age. One came to an end. He brought another one in. And you know, at the time he did that, it's doubtful that any in those days had the foggiest idea that it was the Father's intention to take the next 2,000 years to complete the great work of preparing the kings of the kingdom. Jesus came to bring in the new age of the church, the seedbed in which the kingdom would grow and develop to its next stage. And when the conditions are fully ripe for this next stage of the kingdom, you know, Paul talked about the ages to come, this age will completely pass away, just as they have before. Just as suddenly as the day of Pentecost came and changed the order of God in the earth, so suddenly will the new age of the kingdom of God through God's sons break with glory and power upon the earth. We long for this, desiring the kingdom. I would love to do many, many lessons on the kingdom. I may go back and do some lessons on the kingdom. I love it. The tabernacle, the kingdom, I love those things. But I find most people aren't interested. See, sonship is the hope of all creation and the joy and of the Father's heart. Sonship, what does he desire? Desire to be joined to his people. This is what sonship is all about. God joined to his people. And that joining has taken place in the Lord Jesus Christ. Of the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. And guys, we're close. And I'm going to leave you with this. We cry with Rachel, may he add. Give me a son or else I die. May he add Benjamin. Benjamin. Oh, Benjamin. The desire of our heart. Oh, that the world would see. They will. It's coming. As John writes, come quickly, Lord. Come quickly. Anyway, next week, guys, we will be studying on Benjamin in the book of Revelation. So until then, Lord, bless you all.